Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. If anybody's unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We are here in the spring, thank goodness, on the other side of daylight savings time with Pam and Ron Harshman. They run Harshman Travel, and we do this Harshman Travel radio show for a specific purpose. When we first got started, I was looking to do something where we had like a platform so we can pass around some microphones to people that were doing the right things in home-based businesses. And I asked Pam if she would be a guest host with us because I was looking for really good people to be guest hosts, because in the home-based business arena, you want to work with people that you know, you like, you trust, you know, have really great integrity, hard work ethics, all that sort of stuff. So she informed me that they weren't going to be doing the traditional network marketing kind of business anymore. They were going to move into being like real travel agents, like real certified travel agents. And I said, you know, well, if we think about it, all of us, many of us like to travel. We probably want to travel more. And it's always a matter of who you know. You'll get the best deals and you'll get the best service and all that sort of stuff. So I said, let's do some travel radio shows. And we've been doing that ever since. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman Travel or Harshman, you'll be able to pull up all of the previous radio shows that we've done. Now, I know we have new listeners because we're kind of all over the place. And in those new listeners, I wanted you to be able to have the same level of enthusiasm that I have towards Pam and Ron Harshman. So we're going to do this radio show where Pam and Ron are going to give you their backgrounds first so you can learn a little bit more about them. And this way you could feel comfortable giving them your hard-earned dollars for your wonderful vacation. And then we'll take a commercial break. After the commercial break, Ron comes back and he'll have as much time as he wants to be able to go over the really cool and very good things that are going on in the travel industry. And if you've been around for a while, they've been here way before COVID and the pandemic and the close downs, and they were here during COVID. So if you want to actually hear live and what was going on, you could pick any of those dates and be able to get into those. And we've been here post-COVID in the massive, if you will, expansion of the COVID area. And Pam and I were talking just before about gardening. I guess if we were to use a gardening term, this is the post-pruning section in spring. So in the travel industry, it's got green leaves growing all over it. So Pam, I know I'm bad with metaphors or analogies sometimes, but thanks for being here on your own radio show.
You got me on that one, Peter.
Yep.
Thanks for having us. And yeah, that was, we were
post-pruning.
Talking and everything post-pruning. Else. Oh, yeah, we could make all kinds of metaphors going here. Anyway, moving right along, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest. I did that for many years and then slow but sure moved myself up into court administration. And once there, I absolutely loved my job. I thrived. However, one little thing happened, and I met my husband, who lived down in sunny Florida. So needless to say, I went down to join him and came down here. And I did not want to start down at the bottom of the ladder in law enforcement. So I was looking for something that I could do preferably from home and work independently. Ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license and started selling real estate in South Florida, but very soon discovered that was not my niche and so went back and got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. I absolutely loved it. It was very rewarding. As far as I was concerned, as we are getting older and once we hit Medicare, our choices that we make regarding our health insurance and what avenue we want to go down for that, it is probably the most important decision that we're going to make as far as our health is concerned. So that was really rewarding to me in a sense that I could answer questions and help people navigate through that system, because they're so used to seeing, you know, TV commercials with celebrities and all of this stuff. So they had a lot of questions, and it was fun for me also in the sense that sometimes I'd go in expecting to be talking to some senior woman, and I end up having a whole big table full of ladies, and they've got a tea party basically all spread out. And on the flip side of that, I might be going to see a couple, and I've got three or four of them that when we were done, they were going to start playing cards. So it was always a surprise, never knew what I was going to walk into, but I had a lot of fun doing it. And at the same time, I kept getting these carrots dangling in front of me on my Facebook news feed regarding MLMs, home-based businesses. And I did try several, had a couple losers in there, but I had winners as well. And the one thing I can say, though, is that I learned so much, and it really helped me in the long run when it came to building our website for Harshman Travel. And another plus was I was a customer of yours, and we quickly became friends, and we have been very good friends ever since. So that was a win-win as well. But one day when I was out on my travels, I got a phone call from a girlfriend that asked out of the blue if I had ever thought about becoming a travel agent. And it kind of took me aback, because it had not been not even a week that Ron and I had been talking about it, comparing bucket lists and all that good stuff. We were empty nester baby boomers, and we had some disposable income, and we were both in a position to basically make our own schedules. So we were comparing where we wanted to go and then starting to plot where we wanted to go first, and, you know, kind of was having fun with that. So when she mentioned that, it got the wheels turning, and I could not wait to get home and talk to Ron. And once we did get down to talking about it, we did some research on the internet and started out with our pros and cons list. And ultimately, we obviously decided to move forward, and we got all the information and grabbed all the education we could get our hands on, and then the proper licensures. And in the long run, we have probably done a whole lot more travel than we would have done otherwise. And at the same time, we've helped an awful lot of people stretch out their travel dollars. And everything was going hunky-dory until COVID hit. And then the whole travel industry came to a screeching halt worldwide. And so that kind of put the quabash on everything, but I am happy to say that now that that's all behind us, travel has picked up, oodles more than it ever was before, and the market has just grown big time. We are back booking people right and left. And I'm thrilled with the whole direction everything has gone post-COVID.
Excellent. And then, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. Good to be with you again. My background is very different from Pam's. spent many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, was very heavily involved, obviously, in my own clinical practice, but I was also very heavily into the self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first got involved, a very good friend of mine, mentor, suggested that it would be a good idea for me to get involved in the provincial association. I was up in Canada at the time, and she felt that I had a lot to offer and it would be a benefit to me as well. And I took her up on that advice, did become heavily involved in the Alberta Association, but also moved into becoming involved in the National Association, the Canadian Psychological Association. And once again got very heavily into the workings behind the self-regulatory aspect. I was very fortunate to be elected the chair of the Applied Division of the Psych Association, sat on the board of directors, several ethics committees, professional affairs committees, different government interrelations committees, etc. Learned a lot and really felt that I was able to give a lot back and make a number of contributions, and at the same time really felt that it was a very good involvement for me. In terms of my own clinical practice, I was very fortunate in both my undergraduate and graduate training years to have a number of professors who really stressed the point that if we were even thinking of going into private practice, we would first have to get as much of a varied clinical experience as we could, because when you go into private practice, you let people know that you're seeing patients, you hang up your shingle, etc., but you really don't have any control over who's going to call to make an appointment, what their life situation is, what they're coming to see you to help them with. And if you don't have a broad base of clinical experience, you can really end up doing a lot more damage than good. And I took that advice very much to heart. During my training years, I made the commitment that I would work for pretty much every one of the social service delivery systems. And once I got out into the field, I continued to do that for a number of years prior to going into private practice. In addition, when I did follow up and finish my career, I was very, very fortunate to be elected as a lifetime honor fellow or honorary fellow of the Canadian Psych Association. So it's really worked out very, very well for me. When Pam and I got together, we weren't together that long before we decided to semi-retire. We were going to move from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida. We started raising alpacas. As Pam indicated, she started getting involved in home-based business, multi-level marketing. And although I wasn't involved in that, I certainly fully supported her in doing it. But when she came home and said that she really wanted us to talk about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, it was something that really grabbed both of us. We did a lot of research, as she mentioned, and decided that if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. We would make sure that we also met up with those travel vendors that we felt comfortable working with and supporting, because as with any industry, unfortunately, there are a lot of vendors out there who really do not put as primary concern the welfare of their clients, and it's a money turnover situation. And we were very, very fortunate and very committed to making sure that we did not get involved in those particular vendors. But I did get heavily involved in CLIA, which is the Cruise Line International Association. It is the association that houses pretty much every one of the cruise industry participants worldwide. And as a result of that, I was very fortunate to be able to meet a lot of the higher professionals and management people in the different cruise industries. And as a result, I'm very sure that Pam and I have done a lot more travel than we ever would have been able to had we not become travel consultants. And we've also helped a lot of people make the most out of their travel time and money. As she mentioned, when COVID hit, it really did a number on the entire travel industry. Unfortunately, from my perspective, I really felt that the people in charge of the American government at that time purposely wanted to destroy the cruise industry, and I was very livid about that, but at the same time, very supportive and proud to see how the major components in the cruise industry did what they had to do. They buckled down, they did the financing that they had to in order to stay afloat. They conceded those regulations and assessment things that were demanded of them. But as we were going through the COVID years, Peter, we were very much right on in terms of our prognostications of how it was all going to turn out. And we were very confident that the travel industry in general, the cruise industry in particular, would come back bigger and stronger than they ever were before. And I'm very, very pleased that our prognostications have proven to be very, very on target, and very, very proud of the way in which the cruise industry has really responded very positively to the end of the COVID fiasco, but also to the responsibility that they have in terms of working with the various ports of call, the various cruise terminals, etc., that are really dependent on the cruise industry. And it's really remarkable to see how broad spread the influence of the cruise lines has been. When we look at different communities worldwide, particularly we can look at Alaska, we can look at the Caribbean, and just see how many communities were 100% dependent upon the cruise industry and cruise passengers and staff members coming to their ports of call. And they really have responded very, very positively to that. And we'll go over a number of those things that are still demonstrating the comeback of the cruise industry in particular, but definitely the entire tourist and travel industry.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Miegel. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here with Pam and Ron Harshman. Ron's going to cover the good stuff that's happening now. So, Ron, what's new?
All righty, Peter. A number of good things to report, some not-so-good things. We have, for the last couple of radio shows, talked about the influence that was happening in the Red Sea and the number of cruise lines that were canceling various itineraries and making adjustments because of the unsettled situation there. This week we have a similar thing. I don't know if people have heard about it, but we had a major upsurge in Haiti. And as a result of that and the negative stuff that's going on in Haiti, as a result of the murder of one of the government leaders and the just continued fiasco that's going on there, Royal Caribbean announced that they are suspending all of their upcoming calls to their private island in Haiti. They are switching over and changing their itineraries to go into the Bahamas and to their private island, Coco Cay. Again, it's unfortunate. But they had a number of their ships that were scheduled to visit Labadee, and unfortunately all of those itineraries have been changed. So hopefully that situation will come to some kind of a positive outcome soon, and we are certainly sending our good thoughts and prayers to the people in Haiti. And hopefully that situation will resolve in the not-too-distant future, as well as the situation in the Red Sea. A number of very positive things happening. The cruise industry news reports that 54 ocean-going cruise ships are set to debut between now and 2028. These are different ships that are being manufactured for different cruise lines, but this industry news release said that there is over $35 billion, with a B, dollars in new ship investments, and over 100,000 total berths that are being manufactured. So anybody, I think, would agree that it's very clear that the cruise industry has come back bigger and stronger than ever before. The ships that are being built have an average of about 2,100 guests per ship. So they're not all big ones, but Royal Caribbean certainly leads the pack there with the very large ships. But we're seeing a variety of ships and sizes, and as I say, a number of new ships will be there and available to help people experience the wonderful world of cruising. On Tuesday, March the 12th, NASA reported a record. They welcomed a total of seven ships, bringing 20,009 passengers to the island. and these ships were Carnival, Disney, Sun, Sea Cloud, Carnival, and Carnival. So a number of different ships, but they all were in Nassau on the 12th, and their chief executive officer said that March 12th will go down in history as an incredible triumph for all Bahamians. Their operations team worked tirelessly to ensure a smooth process for all vessels calling at their port. And again, seeing the impact that the cruise industry has on the people who live in these various ports of call is just very heartwarming and very, very positive. MSC had one of their ships in Shanghai on March the 15th, and that marked MSC Cruises' return to China after a four-year hiatus. And this was one of the larger ships, 4,500 guests, and they are offering a total of 9 short cruises from their new Chinese home port. So again, we're seeing major impact as a result of new ships, new itineraries, and new ports of call. So we're very pleased with that. MSC also made a very important call this past week, one that really pleases me. They have banned smoking from the casinos of at least 2 of their ships. And according to onboard reports, the ships will be smoke-free as of, or were smoke-free as of February the 18th. And MSC is joining a number of other cruise lines that have made the same very, very, in my opinion, positive decision to make their casinos smoke-free and a welcome place for many more people. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there was an announcement that Jacksonville was expanding. They have their port there, and for many years it has been a single cruise line home, and that was for Carnival. Norwegian Cruise Line said that starting in 2025, 2026, they will be sailing from the North Florida port, and they announced a number of different itineraries. I won't go through the whole kit and caboodle, but just to give people an idea of what's now available in Jacksonville, they're going to have a 5-night cruise to the Bahamas, a 11-night cruise to the Caribbean, a 12-night cruise to the Caribbean, and what else here? And also, they will have cruises going to the Bahamas for 4 nights. So it's nice to see you've got 4-night, 5-night, 11-night, and 12-night choices to make, with Norwegian now planning to come out of Jacksonville, and I am sure that that is going to have a major impact to the Jacksonville port. For many years, as I said, it was solo Carnival, and that was okay, but people who didn't really want Carnival, for whatever reason, avoided Jacksonville. And now, with Jacksonville having Carnival and Norwegian, I am sure that we are going to see a major increase in the number of people choosing to cruise out of Jacksonville. So that's nice to see. In Alaska, the Seward Company recently released plans to design and build a new cruise terminal and pier at the port of Seward in Alaska. They're presently there, but they are expecting a brand new pier and terminal building to be completed by the spring of 2026. And again, we can see the impact that the cruise industry will have on the community of Seward. So we're looking forward to that. I do have a client who is going to be coming down through the ports there in Alaska, coming out of Seward this coming summer. So that's nice to see that they are expanding again and as well. Fred Olsen, which is one of the major European lines, has announced a new selection of Fly Cruise Mediterranean sailings for 2025, and as part of their 25-26 worldwide program, the cruise line introduced several 7 to 12 night Mediterranean cruises. And these new itineraries offer visits to a variety of destinations, including the Greek islands, the Bay of Kotor, Sancterre, and Amalfi. So it's nice to see, again, the increase in number of itineraries, the number of cruise ships, and the number of experience opportunities for people who are wanting to get involved in the whole world of cruising. Number of other major announcements that were coming out this week. Oceania announced its inaugural 180-day 2026 around-the-world voyage, and it will visit 101 ports across 43 countries, and their bookings officially are now open, and they will be sailing from Miami on January 6th, and they will be crossing three oceans, exploring Southeast Asia and Australia, island hopping in the South Pacific, visiting ports in Europe, and exploring South American cities as well. So it's good to see them coming up with a major 180-day cruise. And realistically, and I was pleased to see this, their starting prices for this cruise is $59,699 per person, and that is for the Grand Stateroom category. So when you look at it, 180-day cruise is a long time, and that's 6 months, and price is starting at $60,000. So anybody who's interested, please give us a call, and we will be happy to check and see what's available and book a suite for you. Holland America just recently opened their bookings for the 25-26 Panama Canal and Hawaii sailings, and they will be offering departures from five different North American home ports and with five different ships, and they are going to be crossing the Panama Canal and the highlights of their 25-26 Panama Canal season. Cruises will start or end in Vancouver, British Columbia, Seattle, Washington, San Diego, or Miami, Fort Lauderdale. So, again, very, very nice experiences for those who can make that kind of commitment and book that kind of a cruise. Crystal also announced their 2026 World Cruise, and they opened they will be opening for booking on the 19th of this month, and they will be departing from Los Angeles January 11th, 2026, and this is a 135-day voyage that will visit 72 destinations across 27 different countries. So, again, a lot of different itineraries that are available for people, from short four-night experiences to major, major 180-day world cruises. So, again, give us a call. We'll be happy to do the research and find the right cruise for you. And we are here to help people, and very pleased with the way in which we see the cruise industry coming back bigger and stronger than ever before. So screw Washington.
Perfect. Kind of like it. So you might not. So
I guess
you might not be
able at the end there. Huh?
That's it. That's
yeah.
it. Nice job. So you might not be able to use TikTok while you're on your cruise ship, but the reality is you'll be able to go on your cruise. So the cool thing is, that there's a lot of really great things going on your vacations, and we're already into the Ides of March. For those people that know what that means, we're here on the Ides of March, and that means we're already 3 months into this year, 12 months in. You know, we only have a couple of months left, or if you plan on going on vacation during the holidays or during the summer, this is the time to book all those trips. So, perfect. So we're going to catch everybody next time. Go to harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com, and then also you can pick up these radio shows again on buildingfortressradio.com/harshman. Okay, we'll see everybody next week. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Pam. Thanks, Ron.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.